found this in Ganarum. Ganarmir ni.
What is it?
Well, it's
a performance.
Welcome to Synthaholics, guys. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is...
Aaron O'Brien.
And...
Dave Hertzberg.
Speak up.
Aaron O'Brien!
Faith Hertzberg.
Again, with feeling. All right.
Aaron!
Aaron.
And D-Nice.
D-Nice.
Unfortunately, David wasn't in that video, neither was Faith, I don't believe.
No.
Ye old Aaron. Well, today is the day after the big news.
It is the biggest news ever.
No, not really. It's big, but it's very sparse.
Yeah, well, we don't know much.
Star Trek's coming back to television.
A form of television.
A streaming service. CBS All Access.
Yeah. So, yeah, so we've got the CBS is now restarting a new series. We don't really know any details on it so far. They're bringing it back. They will air the first episode on regular television, but then the remaining episodes... you'd have to subscribe to their access, their online access.
To tease us.
Yeah. So it's interesting that they're going to do that, but I'm still worrying about the that actual
service. Because I had never heard of it until they just pretty much announced it.
Me neither. I didn't even know it existed. I mean, I know there's
each of the major TV networks actually have their own streaming service that you can purchase. But typically, they end up passing off older shows to Netflix.
Right.
I wish they would. I would like to not have to pay for another streaming service.
Well, they're, HBO Go,
Yeah, but HBO's always been a premium channel. It's the same thing as just subscribing to HBO Go.
Anyway. I get it.
But, I mean, CBS is you could put up rabbit ears and
But here's the thing, this is my thing, if CBS is going to have this, they should have shows as, cutting edge and as raw as, an HBO or Showtime.
Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that type of thing. It should just be, violence, sex, and everything else, and without, any hesitation.
Well, Enterprise tried to go a little bit more adulty, but they kind of,
I'm not saying Enterprise
only kind of half-assed it.
I'm not even saying Star Trek should be that. I'm just saying it's just
But I mean, if they're putting it on this...
That's typically the flavor of show that's available is what he's saying.
Yeah, but I guess, but my point only being is that, if they're going to have this, it should be an option. Because I don't know what their options are right now. Because this is... they put the first episode up on regular TV, but then the rest... you watch Daredevil on Netflix and... sure, there's no really nudity in it, but there is extreme violence in it,
Yeah.
I can't watch that show. It's so violent. The bone, it's very realistic.
Yeah.
It's almost like Mortal Kombat. It's almost like Mortal Kombat X, but live action instead of a video game. It was that kind of brutal.
The one that got me was when Kingpin was bashing the guy's brains. With the car door. Yeah, that was disgusting.
Yeah, I didn't even get that far because I used to work as an EMT and I've heard bones snap like that.
Oh, I'm sure.
So it's unnerving. Yeah. that's way too real and that's nope.
Yeah,
if I want that, I'll go back to the gym.
Yeah, I definitely cringe to that. But I'm not saying that I want to see that in Star Trek itself. But that
Klingons are involved.
That's the flavor of what happens.
If Klingons are involved, I want to see Klingons go all out.
Well, I'm just saying I want to have the option there. You don't
I want to see it, but I don't want that level of violence because unfortunately a lot of shows these days have gotten to the point where it's graphic. There's no leading your imagination to a certain point and letting you bridge the gap.
Yeah.
And that for me, that was a lot of what Star Trek was.
Yeah.
Is that the scariest thing, with Klingons in particular, the reason why they were so scary is there's a lot of allusion to it and you see some of it. But you're able to take that step further and go, wow, we know this much about him. If we've only seen this much, they really are an epic badass.
Right.
If we actually start making it a visual, visceral thing, we might be let down.
I don't know. I just remember like with the albino episode in Deep Space Nine where they go to hunt the albino, and like the guy puts a bat left around a guy's neck and slits his throat, and there's like no blood. He just kind of falls over. I was like, it's so silly, but it's 90s television though. But I mean, you can't really bash it. But it's just kind of funny. It's like, wow, that's kind of funny.
It's like watching Batman in the 60s.
It's just if you don't say "pow" in really big letters across the screen.
Yeah, I don't want Star Trek.
And the same.
Yeah, go ahead, Faith.
Well, in the same breath, you know, as much as that was hokey, I also don't want to, like, to have the camera lens coated in blood. Like, the arterial spray is not something I'm interested in seeing.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, there should be a happy medium, though.
I don't think that should be I don't think that should be the focus of Star. I just think that if there was, like, something that they had to show something...
To give them the potential to do something they've never done before.
They can just, like, you know, you don't have to have these, you know, barriers so much that we can go that far if you want. But there's no need to, you know? I mean, just that you... If the script called for it, you could do that. I don't know. That's just that...
So that they have more freedom. Yeah,
it would be nice to have more freedom.
I mean, if there was, like, if there was... supposed to be some kind of like sex scene that there could be nudity in it. Not that you needed it there, but you know, if you wanted it, it's there, you know. So I don't know, whatever. So
it gives you greater context.
I just hope they're
story basically.
I just hope they're gonna be able to, like, you know, like if it's gonna be on like a premium quote unquote like content, then you know, make it something that you couldn't put on regular primetime TV. It doesn't have to be like all out crazy, but at least, you know, maybe make it a little bit more grown up than Enterprise was.
Right. So CBS All Access is going to cost $5.99 a month. So that's what you, and I believe we're going to get only 10 episodes for this upcoming season.
Although there's nothing been like seriously announced, but that's kind of how like the premium channel shows go. Like you only get like 10
episodes.
And
how often are the shows going to be?
Well,
because if they're making you pay $6 a month and they're only doing 10 shows and they're doing like one show a month, that's $60 to watch it.
I don't think it's going to...
I think it'd come out weekly.
Just to put that in perspective.
That will come up weekly, but the other side of it is that it might... First of all, obviously there will be no commercials. And secondly, at least I don't think there will be commercials.
Well, Hulu puts commercials on you to for that, so...
Yeah, I know that... That's what I was going to say. At least I don't think there'll be commercials, but it could be. But the other side I was going to say is that it's starting, I believe, January 2017.
Yeah.
So that's why you only get the 10 episodes. Now, maybe afterward, the next season afterward, they might have a full whatever it is, a 20...
I mean, most 27 episodes is what Star Trek, most of Star Trek is between like 24 and 27 episodes. Yeah. But I don't know on a pay service. Most shows are like 10 to 12 episodes now when they're on premium channel. So,
but this is a big, you know, network, so maybe they can afford that. Who knows?
So I guess it depends on how popular it is. And only thing we really know about it is that it's not attached directly to Star Trek Beyond. As far as the story goes, but it could take place in the JJ universe,
right? Because also we have the writer Alex Kurtzman,
who wrote both
of those, right?
Oh, co-wrote.
Yeah, co-wrote, but Into Darkness and
2009
to the 2009 reboot. He's written a whole bunch of the Transformers movies and
which half of those aren't very good.
No, yeah, I'm not saying there's anything.
Well, visually they were spectacular, and the stories were intriguing after their own fashion. I mean, for a reboot, they were interesting.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Fringe is probably the best show that he's done that he's worked on.
But we don't know what he wrote. I don't know exactly which episodes he wrote. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, Fringe was obviously a great show. And
he was involved in Fringe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alex Kurtzman.
I didn't know that.
Yep. He's one of the Bad Robot alumni.
Yeah.
So pretty much any J.J. Abrams show.
Yeah, I didn't really see anything with Fringe, though.
Yeah. I actually liked Fringe, how they did like an episode that was like a mini preview for Star Trek 2009, where they talked about like time travel and like how, you know, alternate universes worked. I'm like, oh, they're trying to give you like a primer for Star Trek 2009.
Right. Was that a plan? Was that an actual thing? Or
it literally came out a week or two before the 2009 movie did, where they had an episode that explained like multiple timelines and how like you know time would work.
Yeah, but they did looping back around.
Well, no, but I mean, it was just really, really spelled out, like almost like it was a preview for Star Trek. They didn't say Star Trek, but it was like, oh, well, I know that J.J. Abrams does the show, and J.J. Abrams is doing the movie, so it's just kind of like,
right?
And, you know, Leonard Nimoy was William Bell.
Right. Yeah. Of course. I guess my feeling is that we don't know too much about where it's going to take place. It could be in the J.J. verse. It could be a separate, you know, into the Back to the Original, or like we were even talking before,
a third universe. I that is like the least.
Let's hope that does not happen.
That's my least hope for this. If it's a third universe, I'm just like, I love Star Trek, the original series, the other series, the movies. I love the Prime Universe. The JJ movies were interesting in their own right. They were pretty effects films, but I know there's a lot of, there's a rift between the fans, which you kind of had that PSA about.
Oh my God, you know, I know, but last night I was up all night in this whole flame war between JJ and the original series on one of the Facebook things. I don't know what I got myself into, and because I chimed into something and I shouldn't have.
They're so vicious.
I was trying to be like cool. I was like, look, they're not my favorite. I don't, you know, I'm not hating on you because you like it. Just it's not my favorite. You know, it's like
now you see why I don't talk up in those forums very often now. They get vicious. It's like jumping naked into piranhas.
Oh man, people are like losing their minds. And it was like there was some video about, you know, how the JJ verse paid close attention to the original series and how it's like, you know, they did a lot of things spot on and stuff like that. And, you know, and again, my whole argument is like, you can copy parts of it, but you kind of lost the depth and spirit in my mind. But I'm not going to get into that because that's so stupid. But yeah, so I was.
But you're proving the point. There's a rift between the fans of the new universe and the old universe.
Disclaimer, if you like the JJ, cool. I don't hate on you at all. All right. It's just we have a difference of opinion.
Aaron loves you, this I know, for he really just said so.
Let's not go that far.
If they created a third universe, this would be catastrophic. As much as the fans are torn between JJ and original, like I'm just going to like roll my eyes and pull my hair out if there's a third universe that people are gonna be like, no, this is the one I like best and the other ones are stupid, or all the original fans go, oh, this other one's stupid too. It's just it's worse than JJ or as bad as JJ. I'm like
well, as Larry Nemechek said last time, it's like there were people who never even watched, you know, the Next Generation episodes because they were such diehard original series fans. And that they never even, you know, caught up with that. So, I mean, that is maybe it's just something in like Star Trek, you know, fans' DNA where they're just like, this is what I like and I don't like anything else, you know?
I don't know. I mean, like my humble opinion is.
You have a humble opinion?
Only sometimes.
When he's sleeping, I have them.
My opinions become much more humble when I'm sleeping. It's harder to impose them upon people, but really, if you've watched any Star Trek and you've liked any Star Trek, as a Star Trek fan of what you are a fan of, you owe it to yourself to watch all that there is Star Trek and make your own opinion of it. Sure, you can get, you know, pointers from other people, you know, say what, find out what your friends like. Or your internet friends like, find out what they like and maybe take their suggestions. But don't exclude any Star Trek series just because you've heard some people didn't like it. If you're a Star Trek fan, you really should. Yeah. You owe it to yourself to experience all that Star Trek has to offer.
Yeah, now with today's social media.
It's like anything in life.
Go ahead, Faith.
Form your own opinion. Get your own information. Form your own opinion. Don't be sheep.
Well, it's like if there's like, let's say you don't know anything about a certain series. Let's say you were like kind of ignorant on like, you know, DS9 or something like that, or you know, Voyager, because you were only into certain things. Maybe ask a certain person who you know, especially with social media these days. Just say, hey, what are, you know, 5 good episodes to watch? Yeah, to, you know, for those things, and you know, that person might give you that information to help you out. You know, like these are good episodes to you know, go into.
Or if you're listening to us, you could email us at syntholics@yahoo.com and ask us what we think.
You could do that.
But that's only if you want to.
Yeah.
No pressure.
Yeah. I'm sure everyone who listens to us has a vast knowledge of Star Trek. They don't They only listen to this just to fill their time for waiting for to watch more Star Trek. You know, like when they're driving to work, on the bus,
riding a bike when they go around the houses, knocking on doors,
proselytizing in the name of Synthaholics.
Which we have endorsed before.
Yes.
But, you know, Alex Kurtzman's working on it. I'm kind of iffy on it. He's like one of the executive, he's going to be the executive producer on the show. No word if Orshi is involved with it.
Yeah,
but, you know, since they co-wrote the two movies together, I wouldn't be surprised if you guys handed it somehow, somewhere along the line.
I just think the biggest thing that's going to be the impediment of this new series will be that all access, you know, the paid subscription. I mean, like you said, we were talking off air. Is that you said
we talk off air?
Shh! Don't tell them that.
No, they want us to record everything we ever say to each other.
Only when we're cuddling.
No.
So,
which usually happens after I leave.
Yeah.
You watch Blunt Talk?
No, I haven't.
Patrick Stewart is in the show, and like he likes to spoon with his female coworkers. Yeah. Just whenever he's feeling down, they spoon.
Anyways.
Yeah, but spooning's a good mood booster. Booster. There we go. That's the word I was looking for.
Mood boosters! Mood boosters!
I got my own theme song? Hell yeah.
So
that's how much we love you, Faith.
But like you were saying about the, you were saying before, off air, while we were cuddling, you said that they would be able to actually have better metrics of who is actually watching these because, you know, you could actually say, okay, we had this many views. So they'd have a little better idea than just putting out in the network and say, well, we think, you know, from this or
the
that.
The Nielsen ratings, you got this or that.
Which, but I mean, like, the Nielsen's never made any sense to me whatsoever.
So many things are DVR'd nowadays, but streaming, you've got, you know, instant access to numbers. I mean, that's why, like, so much stuff is popping up on YouTube nowadays. Like, you've got instant gratification for
sure. What
kind of views you're getting.
Right.
And Lost for Lipson. I try to get instant gratification to see when people download our show.
Sure, right. and always. I'm not going to go there. Anyway.
You're like pandering for a compliment.
Yeah. But that's the only plus I can see on their side, that they could see the metrics right away and know exactly what their market share is. And I'm sure it'll be a big thing. It's according to what the content is and how much buzz grows from it.
I think it's a double-edged sword. I mean, like, it could be a huge thing. It could push their all-access thing if a bunch of Star Trek fans sign up for it. But Faith and I were also cuddling off-air. And she had some feelings
we
about
all
this.
Do this.
And she had some feelings about this, too. It's like Blunt Talk. We spoon to, like, process our thoughts.
Hmm.
Yeah, at this point, we just need to get a larger bed.
Yeah. What was the where'd you go with that? Because you just kind of trailed off.
No, I was leading into an intro for Faith to say something.
Oh,
it wasn't a trail off. It was it was inviting Faith to say something.
I thought you were going
to
tell me something important. Okay, Faith.
Nah, it's a lot along the lines of what we've already been talking about with it. Like, my major concern is that. Unfortunately, like, I agree with the fact that, yeah, they do sort of get immediate ratings, but unfortunately, at the same time, I also have to point out that they don't, because everything is digital these days. Everything that is put out on satellite is tracked. You can see how many people are viewing on whatever shows all the time now. There's no opt-in for that. That's a fact of life. People know what you're watching. So they'll be able to tell what people are doing and how many people are watching and what the interest is. I think more than anything, the reason why they did it this way is not because of the instant gratification of knowing who's doing it, but because they didn't want to jeopardize their primary airtime. Because that prime time is a very big deal. That's a very expensive moneymaker, because they make money not just through the commercials, but through the shows and the advertising and everything else. So why eat up time that we can use for shows that we know are big and we know are moneymakers when people can watch this at their leisure for $6 a month?
Okay, but I totally follow you there. But my thing is, can we name 4 CBS shows that are really big?
Don't they have 4 NCIS's?
Don't watch satellite.
What's that?
Don't they have 4
NCIS's?
Yeah,
they've got 4 different ones now. Like, they got a New Orleans one, but I don't actually watch network TV anymore.
I don't.
I haven't for years.
I can't think of anything I watch on CBS.
No, that's my point. I mean, I watch. I think CBS News in the morning.
Does Big Bang Theory come on CBS? I watch Big Bang Theory. I DVR it, but so I don't even know what channel it comes on anymore. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, see, that happens to me too. It's like, ooh, I searched out the show. I like this show. I DVR it. Wait, what network does that belong to?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, so there's
there's like four NCISs and a couple CSIs. I mean those
Big Bang Theory. Big Bang Theory.
Okay, so that's a show.
Criminal Minds.
Big Bang Theory. Like that show keeps making more and more money every season. Like, it's ridiculous. That show is
Hawaii 50.
Oh, that's another thing Kurtzman's working on, I think.
Yeah, he's working on that as well. A lot of cop shows. That's basically besides Big Bang Theory and I don't know.
So is Star Trek going to follow suit with a cop show? Like I we talked about our Section 31 episode. I've always kind of wanted to see a Section 31 show, and Section 31 being like the spies or secret police of the Federation, maybe, since all their other shows are cop shows.
I know it sounds fascinating at the moment, but it just feels wrong for Star Trek. So
it doesn't. Yeah, I kind of agree with Aaron on that. It just, that's not Star Trek for me. If I want to watch some sort of forensic show, I'll yeah, no.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying this is right for Star Trek, but I'm just saying, like, we just pulled up their website and looking at all their big shows, and they're all, like, cop shows. So I'm just wondering, like, if are they going to, like, follow suit with, like, doing a Star Trek cop show? I mean, like,
that would
be
a little silly of them, because then it's just, like, way too much of the exact same thing all over the place. I mean, does that seem like a good marketing idea? I mean,
I don't think so. I mean, as much as I would love to see a show featured on Section 31, I don't think that's the right time for it right now. I would really like to see a like, if it's in the JJ universe, I would like to see them do a Next Generation and recast the Next Generation cast. Yeah. And see a new version of the Enterprise D and see new things that this crew does. That way it's far enough away from the movies.
Yeah.
So that it's not going to mess anything up.
Yeah, that'd be
up.
Real nice to see.
Well, just so you know, the top four I just looked up at Nielsen rating for 2014-2015 is The Big Bang Theory is top. It has, and then NCIS, Scorpion, and then Mom. I don't know what Mom is.
I don't know what Mom is either.
But I mean, okay. I guess it just, you know, it's one of those things where it's just like you're saying, Faith, maybe it's just that they have these certain shows. They know they have some sort of, following, and they don't want to screw that up. I just think that, obviously Big Bang Theory is a comedy, but it touches on geek culture. It's like, again,
Leonard Nimoy offered his voice to the show at least once.
We've said this over and over and over again that, you know, that this is like a treasure they're sitting on, and they don't even realize they have it.
Yeah.
And if they do it right...
No, they do know. I think that's the problem, is that they do know that they have it. They just don't care enough.
But that's my point.
I hate to be the blunt person, but it's not a cash cow. Why do they care?
But it's not a cash cow now because it's been...
They've been doing nothing with it.
It's been 10 years out of cycle, and all those people who were even involved with Enterprise back in 2005 when it was canceled, those people have gone on and do other things or in different places. They're not even aware of that stuff, those executives and producers and people who make the big decisions.
Oh, yeah, decision. No, that's very true. So, but that's the problem, is nobody took care of it.
Yeah.
Another one of my hopes and dreams for the show is I hope Ronald D. Moore's ears perked up whenever he heard about this, and I hope he's able... I don't think he's involved with the Bad Robot guys at all, but I hope somehow he's able to get himself involved with this show, because Ronald D. Moore turned Next Generation around season 3-4. That's when it really started to get big. He wrote a lot of Klingon culture. He was also hugely instrumental in Deep Space Nine, my favorite of the shows. Like, Ronald D. Moore, like, is so good, and he's brought so much life to Star Trek. I'd love for him to be involved with it again.
Right. Well, I guess we'll see where that goes. I mean, you know, who they bring aboard for all that, but it's definitely. I'm sure there's tons of phone calls being made now that they've greenlit this project, and we're going to see, you know, more people getting attached to it, and maybe it'll start getting leaks out of what the actual show is about. You know.
Yeah, it'd be nice, because right now we have nothing other than new crew, quote unquote, yeah. Which could mean, you know, Next Generation crew recast because it's new to the JJ verse, or it could mean a completely new crew that's not even the Enterprise.
And the other thing we know is the writer and Alex Kurtzman, and that it's not attached to Star Trek Beyond. That's all.
Those are the only solid facts we have on this
at
all.
And it's January 2017.
And, you know, who knows if that could push
back. That could be pushed back as well.
Who knows? But, I mean, that's really cool because, I mean, the 50th anniversary is, like, what, September?
They're going to miss it, but they're at least they're coming.
That's only, like 4 months away, yeah, 5 months away. Yeah, like, that's really close. I mean, it's...
I agree.
You know,
yeah, it's definitely
you get the cool. movie.
Well, they're going to miss that, which is a shame.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's also... You would make an announcement for Star Trek, and there's no trailer, there's no information, and it's over a year and a half out.
Well, it's only like
that
13,
seems sketchy.
It's only like 14 months out because it's almost
yeah, it's
2016.
Still long distance with no info.
Well, I'm sure they have it. They're just not releasing you that information.
I think they're just hoping for the buzz. I mean, Transporter Room 3 just put out a podcast like yesterday or something like that, talking about
it's
about.
All over the internet. People are talking about
Star Trek groups on Facebook. I mean, it's huge.
Oh my God, there was a Star Trek. I mean, there's a Facebook page like saying, "Tell CBS to ban Alex Kurtzman from writing it." Like there's literally a Facebook like
it's all the JJ haters who are just like hate
and I'm like,
everything
I'm like,
that's
wow.
You know, so it just
it's like again I'm not a big JJ universe fan but that's just this where it is guys you're just gonna have to go with it you know we're gonna have to see where it goes and hopefully you know he him and his group they are true to whatever you know the Star Trek tenets we believe in.
Yeah, like my grandmother texted me the other day, and she was like, "Oh, there's a new Star Trek series! Like, it's everywhere, so that even my grandmother has seen it, and is like, oh, David loves Star Trek.'
Granny Duncan.
That was actually my mom's mom, so Brunille. But
let's get technical. Too.
Yes, because like, I'm all about the continuity, and you just messed it up. So. My lineage continuity.
needs to make sense, please.
No! Dave will release a family tree in the show notes as well. Show how far back his family goes.
Probably not.
A crudely drawn family tree.
Crayon.
Me, dad, mom,
and all six siblings. I've got lots of siblings.
Wow, big family.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's so. Just going back to that. So it's. I still feel like we don't know, and what's going to happen. And every new series that comes out, it's a little shaky at first. You know, I remember Next Generation. I was like, well, I don't know. Deep Space Nine, I was like,
Space Jellyfish.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know.
Deep Space Nine had a very strong first episode. The episodes that came after it weren't as strong, but I'm not Caretaker.
Emissary was amazing. Did give that a big send off. It was great because they have the next.
They had that huge like war. Like, they started a Wolf 3-5-4. That was high budget for a Star Trek like opener.
But they were in full swing of Next Gen when they So they were in perfect place to do that. Now we're starting off just like Next Gen started, like
in the middle of nowhere.
Nowhere,
yeah.
You're like, you know, let's build a house in the middle of this desert with nothing around it. You know, that's basically what they're doing.
Because this makes sense.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to see what they do with it. It'll be nice to see more details. But the thing is, like, it can't muddle around. Like, if the first season isn't strong, I don't know if it's going to last. Especially if it's on a streaming platform that nobody's heard of until the announcement happened.
Until
the other
yesterday.
Day. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
like,
the only reason I knew they even had a network like that is because I stream TV on Apple TV, and that's the only reason why I even knew that there are these different networks because it's not just CBS, it's NBC, it's all the different ones.
Oh wow, I didn't realize. I mean,
everybody has their own streaming network now.
Well, and maybe, you know, we don't know what will happen. Maybe they'll also stream it into, like, Hulu and stuff like that. So maybe it won't just be this network. So, I mean, we'll have to see where that goes.
To me, that seems like their smartest idea is to be able to access it through everybody. But CBS doesn't play nice with others. That's the other problem. Yeah. Like, and I hate to be the one to state things bluntly, but they don't. And that doesn't lead to very friendly...
I don't know. Well, you know, I'm hoping that there will be something, you know, some other ways. Maybe even they'll put, after the season's aired, maybe they'll put it up on Netflix after the season's all gone and gone up for over, you know, till they're into the second season.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be nice if they did something like that. I don't know. I just, I just don't want this to fail and flop. Like they've got to come out swinging, because all the other big shows that are like network shows that are brand new came out swinging. Daredevil first season, it had some weird pacing issues, but otherwise it was absolutely amazing. Orange is the New Black, when that came out on Netflix, the first season was absolutely amazing.
Game of Thrones.
Well, and those were marketed really, really well. It was very clear what we were getting.
And, you know, Game of Thrones season one also extremely strong. Like all of these like big name, like premium channel subscription shows come out swinging. Star Trek can't flounder its first season like it's known to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's gotta, you're right about that. It has to come out very, very strong or it's going to be in trouble. And that would be horrible to see. I think that's actually kind of why I'm on the fence about it. Cause like, I really, really want it to be good, but I've put all my hopes in one basket before. So
yeah, I feel like we've been burned by new Star Trek news before. I mean, I guess not since the show started, but not, I mean, our show. Somehow.
You get a little hesitant.
I feel like I've heard like, oh, new Star Trek series, and like, oh, and it kind of just
goes away.
Yeah, it
right,
just goes
right.
away. So hopefully, since you know CBS's name is behind it, hopefully this time
it seems pretty
doesn't go away.
It seems pretty official. I mean, so I don't see why.
I know. I mean, I'm sure it's official. I just, you know, like faithfully said, I've been burned before, so I'm just kind of like, I don't know if I want to believe it, you know, all the way yet. But you know,
that stove is pretty hot. I'm not sure I want to put my hand back on it.
Yeah.
Well, if I lick my hand first, like,
no.
Would that
no,
make it
makes
better?
It worse.
No. Oh.
That does not.
No.
Happen.
Darn.
Hurting harder.
Yeah. So,
what are you guys like? So we've talked about the show. It's going to be on the All Access thing. We've talked about our feelings about that, and I've also spoken about what I would like to see. What do you guys want to see from the new show? Like, what? Ideally, would you want the show to be about?
Gratuitous sex.
Lots of Orion Slave girls. Giggity, giggity, giggity.
No. That's actually, I don't
just
want to.
Just a couple Orion Slave girls.
I don't want to see that. No, I mean, if Orions are in there, fine, but it's not what I'm tuning in for. Faith, why don't you go first, and then I'll do my thoughts.
I want to see more about the different races. Like, I want to see the different planets, the different homeworlds for all these different places, and get it. Instead of just looking at what's going on with the Enterprise, let's spend an episode on what's going on there. I would like a little bit more backstory on the political BS that's been going on in every other world and actually get to witness it and have a better understanding about the different cultures.
Like more than just the matte painting of Kronos.
Although they did.
It would be nice to actually see interaction on Kronos and see the way Klingon society interacts with one another. It would be nice to spend a little bit more time on the Vulcan worlds and see the temples and stuff like that. Like, that was the tease for me in Star Trek, was to get a little bit of all these different things and see all these different cultures. Well, I'd like to explore more of these beautiful cultures and get to, you know, that was part of it, was exploration.
Yeah, we've been to Kronos, we've been to the Vulcan.
We've been to the Andorian's moon in Enterprise.
Andorian's moon.
I don't think we've been to Andoria Prime, though.
We've been to Romulus.
We've not been to Orion. We've been to Fringinar. But only Quark's house, pretty much, and the Ministry of Money.
Yeah, but, I mean, we saw a glimpse of that. Can't think of anything else race-wise. I mean,
yeah, just little teases here and there. It'd be nice to see, like, an actual full-on episode of the culture.
I mean, we've only seen the Gorn twice in Star Trek. We saw, you know, when Kirk fought the Gorn, and saw the Gorn in the Enterprise Mirror episode that stowed away on the Lexington or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm. Never seen the Tholians.
Yeah,
never seen their home world.
Although it's going to be like some kind of sulfuric ball of acid that we'll never be able to go to.
Yeah, I mean, so there's, but I mean, we've seen a lot of like the, so there's been like maybe about four or five races we've seen pretty clear, you know, planet, you know, culture development. Even though there's not as much as we'd want, but we have seen it. But there's a ton of races we've never seen, you know.
Oh, I guess we've seen the Founders' home world.
Tellarites.
Never seen the Tellarites homeworld? No.
Wonder what that's like.
Here, piggy.
The pig pens.
I mean, yeah, we did get liquid space, too, but I mean...
Well, I mean, we didn't see any planets in there, unless they just live in the liquid.
Yeah.
Nice 8472.
Just laying around.
Before that goes where it's going to go.
I'm not going there. Anything else right. that you'd like to... anything else that...
If you're wondering, you should go back and listen to the Scorpion on Fox episode where we talk about Species 847.
Clearly, you missed something out.
If you don't know why we're laughing.
So, what else do you think that you'd like to see?
That's really all of it for me. I still want the usual Star Trek out of it. I still want the exploration and everything else, but I really want to see more about why we're even involved in these cultures in the first place. I want to see what those cultures are and, you know, how they interact with one another. Mm-hmm. Because, we know how humans interact with one another. It'd also be nice to see a little bit more of a variety in the crew as well.
Yeah.
Oh, I would love to see it.
Which probably seems a little odd, but
I would love to see a more diverse crew. Because, I mean, you've got Deep Space Nine is probably the most diverse crew you've got. Because, I mean, you only had Benjamin Sisko and only kind of Bashir. And then Miles, who are humans. Like, you know, Kira was a Bajoran. Dax was a Trill. Odo's a shapeshifter. Quark's a Ferengi. You know, I mean, most of your principal cast is aliens. You only had, like, two main humans, really. And then, you know, Bashir was an augment, so he's only, like... He's human, but he's special.
You're special. Well,
I could feel those quotes.
Those quotes came at you hard and fast.
I think for me, what I'd like to see is, let me just start off. I do not want to see another iteration of any of the past. I don't want to see any more Kirk's box. I don't want to see a reboot of that. I don't want to see TNG reboots. I mean, I don't want to see the crews reincarnated. I don't think there's any point in that. The Star Trek universe is vast and big enough. I think we don't need to get into that. I think we can pick another ship, another timeline, a different crew, and, you know, and see that. And I know that they kind of said that. So that's the one thing. I just don't want that. I'm tired of that, you know, we have a big world to inhabit.
There's a lot more to explore.
Yeah. I'd like to see exploration and, again, going back to, the original series, I'd like to see, stories that have, you know, content or meaning or message behind, that, you know, that's thought provoking and make you think about what's being, a subtext in the story that you can read along, but you're like, oh, okay. And I want it to be enough to, you know, challenge us, you know, in our beliefs, our thoughts, our social orders and stuff like that. So, you know, and Star Trek's been great with that, you know, for so many, we've talked about just even the sampling of episodes we've talked about. We've gotten into these big debates about, you know, talking about the meanings behind it and how that impacts us. I'm hoping that they do the same
thing. And we all take away something different, which is interesting.
Yeah, but I think that's true for anything. Like, even if you read a really deep book, I think you come across things that are like, wow, you know, like, I came across this, and then, you know, you read a book, and you're like, that same book, and it's different. You have a different take. So not that any of that's wrong. It's just a different perception while you're reading
it. It's a different perspective.
Yeah. But that's what I think what's great about Star Trek, period, is that it makes you just look inward as well and say, it's like, what does that say about me? Or what does that say about my station in life or my viewpoints in life and stuff like that? So I'm hoping they keep true to that. I mean, I do want the adventure and you know, something, you know, to visually fun to look at as well, but... You know, I hope it stays close to science. You know, I know that Star Trek always has a lot of little mumbo jumbo tech talk, but I hope they still have like a science advisor
from NASA, like they used to in Next Generation.
Yeah, attached to it and say, hey, you know, what's this? Can we use this? Is that possible? And people will be like, yes.
Yeah, what are future theories? Like, what are your, you know, theories that haven't been tested that just look promising?
Or just like
that.
You know, if they said something about some kind of property or something like that, it's like the guy would be like, that's not true at all. That's not like that. So, you know, or, you know, that they would have somebody keep the writers in check. Because writers can go way off the rails if they wanted
very easily.
Yeah, and then that's just imagination, you know. But I would hope that
they're creative individuals.
Yeah. The rules don't apply to me. I'm a writer.
I make my own course.
I make my rules.
Set course to boldly go.
to writer's land.
Writer land. What's more embarrassing than being my assistant, Kif? Being your assistant.
Does Kif have an assistant?
Not yet.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that's where I'm looking for most of all. I think I want the deep meanings behind some of the stories. Not every story's got to be, you know, mind-blowing, but just to have that. And, you know, it would be cool to see a different crew and a different take, like you said, different diversities and stuff like that. I am positive in this iteration series that we will see gay, lesbian, transgender, something within this crew, or some iteration of that through a different race or something like that, just because it's more socially acceptable. Because, I mean, there's been talks about that for years and years and years, but that never got picked up because just the social climate was not right for it, you know? So,
Deep Space Nine had some.
I'm not saying they didn't touch on it here. I mean, there was the, you know, Dax.
But they were aliens, so it was...
But that's still fine because they're still, like, we were talking in our last episode when we were talking about Moral Coil. I mean, we're talking about belief system. Use an alien to kind of look at your own worldviews as, and it's a safe way to do it. So, I would like to see something to that nature because I'm pretty sure we will see it. It's a different political landscape. I mean, even from Enterprise to now, it's totally different. So
it's a decade. It'll be 12 years.
Yeah.
Once it finally airs. It's a lot of time. And no matter what the show does, no matter what time period it is in, no matter what universe it's in, being JJ or Prime, what I really want from the show is, like, I want them to be planting seeds for spin-off shows in the first season. Like, I want...
Whoa.
I want them to be thinking long-term, mega world-building with this. Because, I mean, Star Trek really started off the world-building. I mean, you had after the original series, you had The Next Generation, and then you spun off Deep Space Nine and Voyager, and they were all had a little bit of overlap, and the movies overlapped with some of them. Like, it was just... It was what Marvel's doing now with all their TV shows and their movies, and they're, like, overlapping and weaving and world building.
Yeah.
And, you know, even as bad as DC is, at least their TV shows are, like, you know, world building. They've got Arrow and the Flash crossing over every now and then, and they introduced, I think, the Flash, I guess the name of the second season. But still, like have a plan. Like have another ship you introduce, and maybe even the new show could feature maybe two ships.
Well, it could also
bounce back and forth.
Have characters, you know, that might show up and stuff like that. That, you know, might come up into something, like you said, maybe a series or something like that. Or we were even saying, I don't know, were we talking about this before? But like, even to have like maybe a short spin-off series on a YouTube channel or something like that. You know, like that would just be like, it'd be like maybe not as high budget, but
I mean,
you could.
Battlestar Galactica kind of did that with, like they did some webisodes that would like lead up to the next season.
Right.
That was like canon to the plot or whatever.
Walking Dead does that as well. Yeah, they tell little backstories behind things and stuff like that. It's a clever way just to get more content out there that fans can go crazy
and build excitement. I mean, because it's like, oh, look, this is something new. So I really hope that this will work out and be great. And I'm excited because that means new content for the show, guys. Like, we'll be able to talk
exactly
new Star Trek and not just, you know, all the stuff that we know and love and the fan stuff that is new, but actually new official Star Trek. That's the most exciting thing for me. Other than getting to see the new Star Trek is like, yes, we'll have something new to bring to you, the listeners.
Right. And let's face it, we'll, you know, for those 10 shows or how many they release.
Spoiler-tastic, so please watch the episodes before you listen to us.
Yeah, we'll talk in depth about them. We'll get into it.
We're giving you a year and 2 months notice.
Yes.
To watch the episode.
Before you listen. And then on the off season, we'll talk about older episodes and other things going on in Star Trek. So.
And then maybe do a season recap, you know, see what our thoughts were on the thing as a whole once we've, you know, can look back on it.
Cross comparisons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, we'll do episode to episode, then maybe do like a...
And the cool thing is that we can, if it's on All Access, we can watch it more than once, so we don't have to write furious notes while we're watching it.
Exactly. And then Maybe we'll find the new Riker for the Riker score segment.
You know there'll be a new iteration of Riker somehow, just like Riker was an iteration of Kirk. You know, we'll have, yeah. You know, we'll have
we can
that.
Only hope. I wonder who's going to be the iteration of Wesley.
Oh, God. I don't know.
Well. I think you might have just turned Aaron off of it now.
Yeah. I'm not watching anymore.
I know. Roddenberry
loved
Wesley.
You guys watch it first and tell me.
What did you say?
Roddenberry loved Wesley.
I didn't mind him as much. In the beginning, the first season or first two seasons, he's a little hard to like, but then he gets a little better, you know, when he starts.
And then he gets hard to like again.
Well, he becomes detached, and then he goes away with the Traveler.
For fun times. I'm my own grandpa.
Yeah, but so, yeah, that's there will be, I'm sure they'll have the whole thing. I am curious to see how they're going to play out. Each of the, you know, for the characters, like who will be the captain, what type of person will it be? Will it be like a Picard type? Will it be like, you know, Kirk type, Janeway, Sisko, you know, those kind of things, or Archer, you know? Because they all have their own kind of dynamic and personality, so.
It would be, personally, it'd be kind of nice to see another female captain, because as much as I like Janeway, my God, we could have done so much better.
Yeah,
like she was okay. She was an okay captain, but can we have a female Picard?
I think they were really looking for some way to. I mean, let's face it. When Voyager came out in the, you know, 90s, there, I think they were, you know, trying to make her very businesslike, but not, you know, but businesswomen aren't always like super like, whoa, that's super interesting, you know. So I think they're kind of stuck in that mold, you know. And she became kind of maternal with everybody, you know.
Yeah,
she started off very distanced and very standoffish. Like, honestly, I noticed that they tried very hard to almost make her like another Picard, because she started off very, there's 10 walls between me and the rest of the crew, and then everybody gets stranded and it's like, oh well, crap, I guess protocol's out the window.
Yeah.
And at one point she's actually reflecting in her log, she's like, well, you know, I guess, you know, the boundaries are going to have to change. Yeah. Between a crew and all of that. And I'm like, you realize this almost into season two?
Yeah, right. Exactly. No, but that's...
So like, I felt a little let down, because, I mean, if we're going to have a female representative, can we have somebody awesome, please?
Yeah, exactly.
I would like someone better than Janeway. She's not my favorite captain.
She was good. A coffee addict? Mm.
I identify with that.
So do I, but not to that extent.
It was more of a thing, too.
Well, maybe kind of.
the other thing is that Janeway, I didn't hate her, actually, because I don't know, at first when you first watched it, it was a little bit hard to get into just because the crew was different. But every time I watch the episodes more and more, I'm really enamored with her acting, because I think she did such a good job. Oh, I just think...
Kate Mulgrew's fantastic.
Yeah, I just think...
I think she was poorly written for her.
Yes, exactly. The stories weren't like written well.
Exactly.
For her.
She wasn't able to shine.
Yeah. I think they were like so afraid that if they went too different, you know, or they went to, you know, I guess they got a little too crazy with her any direction, that people would be like, how dare you do that to a, you know, our, you know, a female captain who's, yeah, our, you know, if you sexualized her, if you made her somewhat emotional or something like that.
And,
so,
and Kate Mulgrew,
you made her real and put her in real circumstances, right, that women have to face anyways. Oh my God.
Right. And I'm not saying that, you know, Janeway would be like crying on the bridge when they're shooting at her or something like that. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying is that
you're saying that they avoided very real circumstances with her and didn't really humanize her very well.
I mean,
no, they didn't.
Picard cried. You know, Kirk, we saw Kirk at different points.
Picard went from hating children on the bridge to actually letting them on and hugging one. I mean, you got to see him evolve.
Yes. No.
That I will never forget.
Well, but Kirk got, I mean, not Kirk, Picard's character, you know, had so much room to grow. You know, that was great.
Oh,
you know, and,
well,
and
so did she, too.
Yeah, but
she didn't.
But that's the thing is, I think they were so worried about how they portrayed a woman at that point, they couldn't let the character breathe.
Yeah, they were so scared of it that they couldn't give her anything fun to do.
Yeah, and it's like, and like we were saying before, she
intimidated
them. Yeah, they would put her in those Victorian holodeck things. We're like, oh God, you know, like Please.
Like, Da Vinci was cool, but,
it just wasn't that interesting, you know, and it's like...
It was probably just a cameo shot to get him back in.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean...
Oh, John Rhys-Davies? I like John Rhys-Davies. Oh, like, he quit Sliders because he hated the scripts. He said they were too dumb.
Yeah, they were dumb. But, yeah, so...
And then they got worse when he left. Like, I wish he didn't leave because with his complaining, he at least kept the quality to a certain point, and then it just went...
Here's a question. Do we want a human captain?
No.
No.
You don't want
to... I would actually be happy with a female alien. You know what?
A female Andorian.
I would be happy with a female Vulcan.
Oh, man. A Vulcan captain. I don't know if I could get into that.
The women are a different story. Don't think of Spock when you're thinking about the female women. You need to think about the female Vulcans.
Are you
talking,
they're
a little bit more hot under the collar.
Like T'Pol?
Well, no. T'Pol was also significantly older.
T'Pol became like a hot mess by the end of the episode.
T'Pol got a disease that made her emotional.
I know, that's what I mean. She got, everything got messed up with T'Pol because they...
She got that STD from a mind meld, which I don't understand because, like, they're mind melding and the movies and stuff like that, no problem. But, like, back in Enterprise, for some reason, you get STDs from mind melds. I'm like, what?
It's like playing D&D at home. There's a difference between playing it for real and playing it with a homebrew. They just broke the mold.
Yeah.
You mean they were LARPing
like,
a little
bit? We know those rules are there, but we're going to pretend they're not.
I don't know if I want to see a Vulcan captain. I'm sorry.
I'm not saying specifically, but, you know, it would be nice to see.
I want a female Andorian captain.
Yeah. Oh, their hatred of humans goes too far, and she would never
No, you're thinking Enterprise. Andorians were Andorians, humans, and Tellarites were the founding members of the Federation.
They were always a little weird, though. They're always a little weird.
Yeah, they were a bit off.
Not really, because, I mean, the time you see the Andorians the most in the original series, he was an Orion spy, so it wasn't even really an Andorian.
No, I know.
So, I mean, like, you don't... I mean, we've never really had a main Andorian character except in Enterprise. So, I mean, like, having a female Andorian captain would be pretty cool, I think.
That'd be crazy.
Or even just having an Andorian period in the officers. That would be amazing.
Yeah. Because, I mean, they were a founding member of the Federation, and we never, ever see them except in Enterprise. I mean, you see them in the background in some of the movies, but, I mean, they were never prominent characters until Enterprise. I would love to see an Andorian as a main
character. Yeah, should be more prominent.
Frankie Captain?
No.
No.
I'm not interested. I wouldn't even watch.
I don't want to see...
Especially like with the mail. At that point, I'm like, I
Faze just be like, I'm canceling my subscription.
I don't want a Captain Nog.
Cancel. I wouldn't even subscribed.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, I would like I think a female Andorian would be good, or...
Let's just upgrade the half Klingons.
Well,
this is a warship for the Federation.
I mean, a Klingon.
Can't be anything else?
You could do a Klingon. You could do a Klingon captain, I guess, like a Worf type character. But no. Worf was so well developed, you know.
Yeah,
they told Worf no so many times. There's like a 15 minute internet video of Worf getting told no over and over and over again.
Yeah,
like I don't know if you could have a Klingon captain.
Well, and the studios kept on telling him no, and he kept on going, "I'll do a Captain Worf thing." Like no. Sorry, Mr. Dorn. No. Yeah. No, but the Worf character was so well developed. I don't know if you just brought in any Klingon character. I don't know if they would be.
Yeah, you would have to see them develop from beginning to end, because like Worf at the beginning is so different from Worf at any other point in the shows.
Let's do a Nausicaan captain like they had in Renegades.
Play Damjat, human!
Human, stupid human!
Let's play Damjat instead of shoot lasers at each other.
Let's explore human. No, that would be terrible.
No, I don't want a Nausicaan.
I'm sure it will be. I'm sure it'll be a human captain.
Oh, what about a female Cardassian captain? I don't think you're going to have a heavy makeup.
No, you don't
captain.
Want. You don't want a captain with
heavy
makeup.
You're not gonna. I don't think it's ever going
to
happen.
Because they're carrying a ton of the scenes.
It's hard to afford that.
Yeah, they're going to carry a ton of scenes, and you don't want them being, you know, under heavy makeup constantly.
Which you know, most likely for alien captain could be Trill or Vulcan. That's probably as alien as you're going to get for a captain.
Yeah.
As much as I would love to see an Andorian captain, it's even that's probably still too much makeup.
Would actually be really interesting to see what they did with that, because imagine the backstory that could go with that.
Yeah.
Oh, Trills are always going to be interesting no matter what, just that they have all those different, you know, incarnations of their life.
And then, you know, what if the captain dies and then someone has to take a field promotion to be captain, and then the symbiont is put into another body, but then the body is like an ensign and he's got to deal with being like...
It's only a temporary setback.
It's like, ah...
Yeah,
and then maybe like they've got the ensign giving all these like you know pointers to the captain. Maybe you could do this. Maybe you could do this. You know, because the captain would be a field promotion captain if the captain did die. You know what I mean? And
right.
You put this into an ensign, and then the ensign's like got all this experience of being a captain. I don't know.
It's not a bad idea. I'm just that's. I doubt they'll get that creative. I could be wrong though.
Do you have any other?
How did they get?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, just thoughts and ideas kind of thrown out there, see what sticks, what could be interesting. Do you have any other thoughts on the new show as of now? I'm just looking forward to new news.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say I would like it to be a spaceship, not a space station. I want them to be able to jump to planets, you know, pretty easily. Probably we could move away from the Enterprise. I love the Enterprise, but we could move to a different ship, you know?
Yeah, that would be nice to see as well.
I don't think it necessarily has to be the Enterprise. I think you could pick another ship and give it a, you know, good name.
I think you need to start off with the Enterprise and then spin off shows from it.
I don't know.
Like, Star Trek and Enterprise are the same thing.
Yeah, but they had Voyager.
Yeah, but the Enterprise was already a thing, and they were doing movies at the same time.
I know. I'm just saying. It's like I think they can.
Be nice to see one of the other ships, because they're the thing that a lot of people don't realize is that there is a major number of ships in the Star Trek universe, and we don't get to see them.
But it never seems like it. We're the only ship in the area. We're in the Earth solar system. What about all the ships at
space is vast.
Utopia Planitia.
But they have a very advanced fleet, and it'd be nice to see this fleet.
Yeah. You know,
but if it's a different era, you might as well stick with the Enterprise.
Right.
But like I said, I want them to do world building. That way, they can have another ship as a spinoff series. Like, if the first season's popular, and they make a lot of money for the first season, make a new season and then spin off a new show when it's in its third season, and use that cast you casted early on, like just start the world building early.
Yeah.
So you can make a big, vast universe like it should be.
I'm not so worried about the first season about that. I think that's a good idea. I think they should think about that. But I think that should be planned ahead maybe for second, third season. I think the first season we just want to get like tied into like the characters, the scope of what they're going to be doing, and get a feel for them before we start jumping into the next, you know, series or of the franchise. But, you know, that's so far removed right now from my thinking. I just want to actually see the show.
I'm stoked. Yeah, I can't wait.
Give us a sense of what it is so that we have a better idea of what to expect.
And, you know, as we get more news, we will report it to you as we see it.
Absolutely. You know, this is exciting times.
I
didn't think that we'd actually even have this conversation.
I'm super excited.
I never expected it either. And honestly, like, I'm looking forward to it. So no negativity meant by any of this, but I am on the fence just because I'm concerned as to how they might handle it. But I'm still looking forward to it.
Right now it's just super vague, but as soon as more details roll out, I think it'll help a lot, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
So I wanted to let you guys know, we got a listener email.
Wow, awesome.
Wow.
This is a rare and special occurrence. So,
going to open a bottle of wine, light some candles,
get some canard.
Another bottle of wine, actually.
I'm going to dress up in my tutu.
No, just put him in his maid outfit.
There you go.
Well, yeah. It's from Chef RT. I'm a professional chef and fan of Star Trek. So I had a thought. The chef has been mentioned a few times both in the series and in the movies, so I'm not sure they have one on board the starships. So I am sure they've got one on board the starships.
He looks on Voyager.
My question is, what department would he or she be part of? I'm looking for documentation or even opinions at this point. what I've been able to find on fan sites is that he would be a civilian contractor, but that doesn't seem right to me. Thoughts?
Well,
I think the only time we know there's a chef is at Enterprise and in Voyager.
You know, we also see it in, mentioned in...
TOS?
Yeah, TOS for the movie Undiscovered Country. I think they mentioned something chef when they're going to have the Klingons aboard.
Yeah, chefs tend to be classified in the class of support personnel in military terms. So they would not actually be a civilian contract because you can't have a civilian on a military vessel like that. It's too much liability.
Yeah, I would think it'd be more like
my uncle was in the Navy, I think, and he was a chef.
Right, but you wouldn't be an officer. There's the difference. Is that so? In most Navy situations, in military, you either go to officer school, which would be like Starfleet Academy, which you'd come in as an ensign, and then you go up the ranks. If you weren't going to go that, you can just enlist.
I mean, like the yeomans were probably chefs.
Yeomans or Chief O'Brien. He is not technically an officer. He is at the top of his rank.
Chief Petty Officer. But it's just, you know, he's got experience, so he's extremely valuable.
Oh, absolutely.
Even though he doesn't have a real good rank.
Absolutely. That's a common thing. So, I mean, when you read about any kind of like military histories, there's always the blue bloods in the past wars that would go and they'd go to officer school and they'd come in as lieutenant, especially World War One. And they'd be all like, "Oh, we're going to take the Jerry's today. Oh, we're going to take the Jerry's." And these guys would be like war-hardened guys who've been in war for like the last 2 years, and they're grizzled, and they you know all this stuff. And then they're like, So
who's this new kid that doesn't know what he's
doing? This guy
fresh out of officer school. Yeah. What does he think he's doing?
Yeah, exactly. So you would see that pretty often. So
Neelix was just. He felt like being. He was a morale officer. He was a refugee. But, I mean, like, an Enterprise, he could have been a private citizen. I don't know. Like, I mean, because of the economy of the future where there's no money and no stuff like that, you just do it because you enjoy it. Would that be a requirement? Would it being an officer be a requirement in the future?
No, I don't believe so. I think they'd be considered crewmen. So,
we never see the cook. Or the chef in Enterprise until the final episode where Riker is the cook of the holodeck, which, I mean, even though I wasn't a big fan of how, you know, they made it the finale of Enterprise, a TNG holodeck episode, I like that you never ever saw the chef, and then all of a sudden the chef was Riker. So you can always, like, imagine, like, whenever you see the chef's handing Archer food, you can always imagine that being Riker. It's kind of a fun thought, just because, you know, that's what the chef, you know, looks like.
So for crewmen in the TNG episode Drumhead, there was Simon Tarsis. He was an enlisted crewman, so he didn't go to the academy. And, you know, we do see, I was just thinking, in Undiscovered Country, we see the chef's galley where they're making the food, where they find, shoots the pot of mashed potatoes or whatever.
No, it's a big thing of
whatever
dough.
Oh, was it dough?
Yeah, there's a.
I thought it was mashed potatoes, but it doesn't matter. But I mean that
different consistency.
Yeah, but but that's where we see that.
I love how it didn't vaporize the dough.
Yeah, that was odd.
But then in on the Edge of Forever, the bum shoots himself, and also just
it'd be like Captain Terrell shooting himself in Wrath of Khan, and just all of a sudden all his organs just like spew all over the floor because he just vaporized the outside.
He only vaporized the skin.
Yeah,
you know. But then the City on the Edge of Forever, he shot himself and it vaporized the phaser too somehow. Like how does that work? But
yeah, but I mean we do see crewmen pretty often and. You know, chief petty officers. You mentioned Yeoman Ran was something that they had back in the original series. So I would say they would be a crewman. They would just be enlisted, so they wouldn't have actually gone to officer school. So, but they can raise to ranks like we were saying to the
like a chief petty officer or something.
Well, Chief O'Brien. You know, he's. I believe he's at the top of his rank. I don't think he can go any higher unless he goes to officer school.
Yeah.
He is a super valuable person, and true officer knowing their who's good, they would know that this is a person you need you know, by your side at any point. So I would think any chef who was, you know, in within the Star Trek, you know, universe in Starfleet and was a crew member, I think they could get to the rank of like a like an O'Brien, and then, you know, they'd probably be serving admirals and high dignitaries and like that, you know, if they were at that point. You know, these would be highly trained chefs that would know.
Serving on the ambassadorships, you know.
Yeah, yeah, and all these type or special space stations, or they might be they have to go, you know, make their rounds.
Serving grain to Klingons at K-9.
I think that'd be below their standards. But that is an interesting thought. I mean, we have seen very little of actual like chefs other than Neelix itself.
The support personnel.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, like, you know, in TNG you had replicators, so everything was pretty much replicated, you know. Although, like, Quark, I guess, replicated it, but I think maybe Quark had chefs, too, because they had a Klingon restaurant that had chefs. They made, like, live food. So, like, you know, you see a little bit on Deep Space Nine a little bit, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I always assumed that TNG had, they did have probably chefs, because, I mean, Guinan was a bartender, you know. I mean, there had been, like, chefs. I don't think you need one, but if you wanted something special, you know, for, like, you know.
It was probably captain's preference.
Yeah, no, I'm assuming there would be one no matter what. You know, there'd be a chef on board.
Actually, I don't know, because I think.
Wait, there was.
I think they made a big deal about how in Next Generation, they don't. They replicate everything because they think it's inhumane to kill animals or something like that. Because, like, back in Enterprise, they were still killing.
But that's not my point. I mean, they'd still replicate the food. But, like, a chef would know how to prepare certain things then.
And they would need to be able to do the recipe in the first place. Otherwise, how would they be able to synthesize it?
Exactly. Yeah. And my, you know, like, you know, Picard just trying to, you know, put an order in for Earl Grey. You know, it's like, what's the temperature? You know, like, give me. Hot tea, you bastard!
Tea, Earl Grey, hot.
Just specify hot.
Deanna Troi, can you spoon with me? I'm not feeling good today.
Specify spoon.
What kind? Silver?
Deanna Troi spoon.
Yeah, and I think the only one we never really saw, it was the actual original series show. You never saw any mention of a chef whatsoever.
Just the weird little food cubes.
Yeah, and that the little sliding door when they ordered it, and the I mean, the only big spread we saw was was it Journey into Babel, where they have where the Andorians are. Where that's the one. That's the only you see a big spread of food on the Enterprise because they have all the
dignitaries there for the thing.
But yeah, and then we see what else do we see? We see the Enterprise. There's a chef. Definitely know that there's one because Riker was talking to him at the very.
Riker was a chef.
Yeah, I mean, that's my point, is talking as the chef.
Yeah, that's it. But, I mean, it's an interesting question, Chef RT, and thanks for writing us and getting our thoughts on this. And
I don't think I've
ever... Oh, absolutely.
I never thought about that before, but that would make sense.
It's fun to think about, because I actually used to work as a chef, and it's kind of interesting to really think about that, because that's not something I really considered.
I was a waiter.
I've never worked
in food
service.
You're on the other side of the board.
Yeah, I was a waiter, and I worked at a fancy restaurant where I had to open fancy wine for people. Man,
did you shoot corks at people?
That was really nerve-wracking, because, I mean, these bottles of wines were, like, you know, easily, like, $70, $80, and you'd be like, you know, give them the cork to smell, have them drink a little bit, and have them, like, swish it around, and they'd be like, yes, that's good wine. I hate when they do that to me. I'm like, just pour the damn thing, and I'm going to drink it anyways. You know, I'm not a...
Leave the bottle, let me pour it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Leave the bottle, take the glasses.
Anyway...
Yeah, look, very cool. Thank you for writing in. That's awesome. That was
interesting. Yeah.
That was interesting.
And anyone else who want to write in, please write in your thoughts, and we'll be happy to talk about them and, you know, think about it. That's synthaholics@yahoo.com.
Absolutely.
And all our music is typically provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com.
New CD.
And, brand new CD. It just came out end of last month, so... check them out. We're hoping to have them on soon.
Yeah, it would be
so
cool.
So stay tuned for that.
Yeah, talk to those wild men and women.
And you can find them at the Twitter at Warp11.
Yeah.
You can find us at Synthaholic Duo. You can find me at David_J_Duncan.
Yes, and I'm at Blackbird2004. Faith.
And you can find me at Faith Hertzberg at Twitter.
And check out our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/Synthaholics, so that you can follow all the fun that we have during the week in between episodes.
And if you have a chance, go on to iTunes if you could rate and review, or just leave us a couple stars our way so we can...
Probably the 5-star rating.
Warp into the future with our fine reviews. Yeah, and we also have on the webpage, we have our Patreon. You can look into that as well. See if there's anything you want to give for us. That'd be great.
Yeah, and tell your friends about the show. And those iTunes ratings will help us become more visible, so that more people can find the show. Because we definitely would like our show to blow up and be amazing, huge. So that when that new series comes out in 2017, we have lots of ears ready to hear about the new Star Trek.
That's right. We can get more people into it.
Exactly.
Well, thank you all for listening. Live long and prosper.
I should just delete myself.
Just remove yourself as admin. The click.
I should just go.
Well, you know, talking about a little bit of faith here.
I'm gonna put that on there right now.
talking about losing subscribers. We're losing hosts.
We're losing hosts.
Hosts and admins. It's like, oh no.
I'm writing that in there right now.
What?
I'm gonna right now. I'm leaving.
I should have quit here 4 years ago.
Oh.
Are you Facebooking while we're doing this?
Yeah. Facebooking. He literally just signed into Facebook just to write something on it because we were talking about it.
I'm going to write, I'm a shithead. I'm ejecting myself from this group.
No!
Face says I'm a jerk. I'm leaving.
One more old joke and I'm out of here.
That's right.
And stop cracking him, old man.
I'm going to start posting naked pictures of myself or something.
Clickbait, clickbait.
We don't want to scare people away.
Okay, we need naked pictures of you, Faith.
This is going to start.
We really don't want to scare people away. I can find some lingerie.
This
maybe.
Is going to work.
Okay, lingerie pictures. That'll work.
This is going
too,
to
you know.
Work. I'll be in your lingerie.
I'll be your lingerie. Let's just go there. Let's
just
do it all
one,
the way.
One hand here, you know, another
what,
hand.
No, you know what we'll do? What we'll do, Faith? We'll
what
print.
What could hold one side? What could hold the other?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Actually,
we
that
could
was
have a communicator that, somewhere in there for shits and giggles.
Oh my god! I put that. I'm a shithead. I'm ejecting myself from the group. Will Smith wrote back and says, "Ha, good luck. We'll just add you back."